Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California, with Andy Stevens, Owen Main, and Luke Johnson.
75 degrees outside, man. It's December. Where you stand?
L.A. living, gridlocked in the fast lane. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast. Again, podcast episode 72.
We're getting up there.
Yep, absolutely. With Andy Stevens, I am Owen Main. Luke Johnson is still out on baby leave.
Paternal leave.
Paternal leave, yeah. I guess you could...
What do they call that list in Major League Baseball? Not the bereavement.
Not the bereavement, yeah. Like family something. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, maternity. Yeah, baby. I'm almost there. A couple of weeks or so, and I'll be there too.
Yeah, you're there too. My friend Scotty, who's been on this podcast before, had his second yesterday. So
of the California Jets,
yes,
ilk. And exactly. I'm not talking about a football team. I'm talking about Jets, like
high level hobbies,
RC and whatnot. Yeah. Andy, it's been a while since I've seen you.
It's been a few weeks.
How you doing?
I'm all right. I'm just putting along, working. Starting to slow down a little bit for me, but then today I just, of course, right when I need to come to a podcast, I get hit with like four or five.
That's how work goes, dude.
So, but hey, as soon as I'm done, I get worried for just that split second for maybe a few hours, maybe one day at the most, and all of a sudden it hits you again. So,
as far as being slow, you get worried that you're getting too slow.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm not on the clock.
You can walk to the beach, too, from your house, which is like a plus, I think.
Yes.
Because you could just go like spend a couple hours at the beach.
Absolutely.
With the dog.
And you need that every once in a while.
Dino. Yep. Another dog lover. I was actually listening to the podcast of her show from last night, CJ Silas.
Yeah.
She dropped some fansmanship love on the show.
She did?
Her producer was sick. Bobby, who was on our podcast.
He got sick.
He was in the ER. So I messaged her yesterday. I messaged her and asked her if he was okay.
Did he have a skateboarding accident? Because I remember when he came over here, he rode a skateboard. I thought that was interesting.
No, it was not a skateboarding accident. But whatever it was, he wasn't doing too well. Anyway, CJ was like,
"Oh, get well, Bobby."
CJ was like, "Oh, and Andy and Luke from the Fansmanship podcast are asking about you," and like, it was pretty cool. Yeah, it was good. We'll have to have.
We care. People that come on our podcast, we kind of have our own little. It's our own little. I don't know,
network,
fraternity, but yeah, our own little network of people. So yeah, of course we care.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll have to have CJ on one more time before August as well.
Definitely.
We're going to be calling Miles Davis in a minute here. I'm not talking about Miles Davis, the famous jazz musician, but Miles M. Davis.
Also a musician.
Sorry.
Maybe not famous in jazz.
Yet.
Well, not famous yet, we'll say.
And he can play a mean violin, among other things. He's multi-talented.
He can spit rhymes and play the violin. Name me another rapper that can do that. Boom. Hashtag mind blown.
Hashtag none. None other than Miles. He has a project that we've talked to him about before, LPMD, with Longinu Parsons from Yellow Card. Longinu Parsons III, I think, from Yellow Card. And we'll be talking to Miles in a second here. He's, of course, a childhood friend of ours, a former Mets teammate of Andy, maybe.
When
you were 12,
when
you might
I left
have been
the
nine.
Mets was the year after I left the Mets was his first year.
Oh, okay, there you go. But you guys are both Mets alumni.
We played
from the Central Coast.
I played
Coast
against
the
him. I think he was on varsity at Mission when he was a freshman. I was a senior, I think. Yeah. Him and Rocky, they were both freshmen.
There you go, Rocky Roque, former Cal Poly closer.
Right.
So we'll get with Miles in a second here. You ready to give him a call?
Sure.
All right,
let's go ahead.
All right, Miles Davis from LPMD.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you great. What's going on, man?
All right, beautiful. Nothing. It's kind of hard to hear you. You're a little bit far away from the phone.
Okay, we'll try to put it like in the middle of us. So
okay.
and we'll try to talk loud, okay?
Yeah, just talk loud. That'll work.
Okay, we can do that. We can turn down our levels and turn up yours and make it happen.
We have the capabilities.
We have the technology.
Like,
so Miles, Andy and I were just arguing over whether you guys were ever on the Mets together. I thought you might have played in majors as a 9-year-old, but I couldn't remember.
No, I didn't. I don't think we were ever on the same
team. We weren't, because when I was 12 when I moved on, that was your first year. So, but I do remember playing in high school. We did play when I was a senior. And you were a freshman.
Yeah, we did. That's right. Yeah, we did play against each other then, but never at Little League.
Right.
Yeah, there you go. But you guys are both dirty Mets. I played against both the Mets.
Just because we ran the Central Coast for a couple of years doesn't mean.
Come on now, the Reds. The Reds were solid too. Let's not forget the Reds. The Moral Bay teams. The Moral Bay teams never had nothing though.
We're just talking about the Dodgers. I mean, the Mets pretty much beat up on the Dodgers like what, 5 years in a row at least.
At least,
wasn't even competitive.
We had a little dynasty going there for a while.
We did have a dynasty. That's a good word for it.
We had it wasn't very close. You're right. I was thinking about the kids on the Mets were generally like a little grittier too. I think I don't know. I just picture the
mentality.
Kids.
It's mentality when you put on that uniform.
Yeah, it is.
When Dave Stevens is your manager and Lauren Davis.
Yeah, exactly. It's tradition to withhold.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You gotta embrace playing the villain role. You have to embrace it.
Yeah. You guys were the villains, that's for sure. And the Reds kind of broke up the dynasty or the Reds seemed like they had a dynasty for a while too. But anyway.
Yeah, they were good. They're good. Yes. I remember them.
A little Central Coast Little League action. So, Miles, and this is Miles' second appearance on the podcast. The first time we talked a little bit about growing up in Cayugas and sports and stuff like that. Miles, what did you think about the All-Star game? Did you get a chance to watch it?
I got home from work about six or seventh inning and turned it on.
Yeah, that's about what time I turned it on, too.
Me too.
All I can say is that there's a lot of young arms that are pretty impressive. That's pretty much what I took away from that All-Star game. The guy from the Marlins, I mean, Chapman, all of them. Man.
Yeah.
There's some good young pitching.
Jose Fernandez.
And Harvey, who started, is incredible. There's a lot of young arms, and there's just a lot of arms that are
coming
up.
Did Harvey plunk someone? Did he hit, like, Cano? I was reading a thing, like, he had to have like X-rays or something. Like
I think Cano might have fouled one off his leg or something. Okay, okay, I think possibly. Miles, of course, is a big Giants fan, and
yes, sir. And
there was a little bit of I think it was media generated like hype about him not picking Puig. I think Puig wouldn't have maybe even come because he's kind of hurt for the injury replacement. He picked, I think, one of his own guys who actually didn't even play or end up playing in the game.
He put him on the ballot for the final five. What more do you want from the guy?
So here's my argument about that. So if you're going to try it, like, okay, so he put him, but he also put Gonzalez knowing that they would split the votes, and MLB never quite released like the total vote counts. I looked for him, and they never released the total vote counts for all the guys. So my picture is he put him on the final vote, but he also put Gonzalez purposefully to split the Dodger vote, and Gonzalez got the fewest votes, but still he got some, and that split the Dodger vote and allowed somebody else to win. That's my conspiracy theory.
Well, I don't think you can put in some kind of. I mean, come on, you want to put in an arm off of a trunk that says, okay, well, in the final five, they have to be from five different teams.
No, but he knew what he was doing. Bochy's a smart guy.
Of course,
he comes off as I am kind of affable. I have a really deep voice.
But
well, you don't have to tell me that part of the story to let me know what his motivations were. You could tell when Freeman went down. And then he took McCann instead of Puig. Look, I mean, why not take the guy who got the second most votes with the guy with the first?
That was strange. That was strange.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
Yeah.
That was strange. When I heard Freeman wasn't playing, I thought for sure Puig would be going.
Right.
But I think Puig was hurt. I think Puig's like hip injury, the Dodgers told him to chill out.
Right.
I really think behind the scenes that was what was happening.
Honestly, I don't really think it's not that big a deal. I mean, let's just get on with the second half and let's go win the pennant. You know, who cares whether or not Puig gets in the game? So
what about the Kershaw thing, Miles?
What about the Kershaw thing?
Not starting and Bochy saying that Harvey would have started whether it was in New York or not, and kind of got hyped up too.
I don't know. I don't really care about Kershaw, to tell you the truth. So it really doesn't affect me too much.
Yeah, I don't really care about like Greg Maddux either, but he was the last guy to lead the National League in ERA for three straight years, which is what Kershaw is on pace to.
Kershaw's a monster, man. I like watching him pitch.
Yeah, I've
been saying it for 2 years. I thought he was going to lose his control and it was just going to go all down the drain, but he's proven me wrong.
He had control issues early on in his career.
He was definitely an unbridled stallion, you know, just out there, you know. But he definitely turned it around and has come around. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was banking on, for him to lose the control and then go go back home. But, yeah, he's pretty dominant. I always hate just seeing him in the starting lineup against the Giants because the Giants just have no clue.
Yeah, kind of like the Dodgers against Barry Zito or Tim Lincecum. I feel like those two, like, no matter how bad they're pitching at the time, those two always have the Dodgers number. Kane, on the other hand, seems to pitch decently but just doesn't get wins. So, yeah, it's going to be a fun second half.
The Giants have been pitching pretty well lately, man.
Are the Diamondbacks legit for the division, Miles? What do you think?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah?
I believe so.
So you think they'll be there in the end?
Yeah.
So is it going to be a two? Is it going to be a two-way or three-way race then?
For the Giants?
For the National League West, is it a two-way or three-way race?
No, it'll be a three-way race at least. I think it's going to stay close all the way to the end of the year.
Yeah.
Honestly.
It'll be the closest.
The Giants were 7 games back at the break last year, and then they turned it on. So I'm not too worried about them. Just banking on how bad our pitching's been. We haven't hit the ball at all in about a month and a half. And we're still hanging around, but I think that division is just going to be down to the wire.
Yeah, yeah, I would agree. I mean, I was asked that the other day by some friends of mine that are Giant fans. I said, the thing about the Giants is no matter how badly they play, what kind of losing streak they go on in the middle of the season, they always seem to have something at the end. They just have that overall chemistry where they understand that they've been there before. So I would definitely not count the Giants out.
Miles, I was talking to somebody the other day about the Giants and about Bruce Bochy and a couple other, things about him. But one of the things I think is interesting about him is he really does manage for like right now. I think there's no way, especially Mattingly, but 90% of managers would not have left Tim Lincecum in to throw 148 pitches. Even if he was throwing a no hitter, Bochy did, he's kind of old school that way, I guess. Which is probably why they're good, like down the stretch and in the playoffs, because he just manages so game to game, one at a time, not thinking about the future. But at some point, do you kind of have to like live with the potential that like Lincecum's arm falls off in 2 weeks, or what's the?
Well, his contract's up at the end of the season, so I think
don't care. Yeah.
But, I mean, it was right before the All-Star break. I think if it would have been down the stretch in a race or, with a couple months left in the season, I think he would have pulled him. Yeah. But I think because it was right before the break, a couple extra days off, he let him go.
He's like the
but
old still, car.
He looked good. He looked good, though.
Yeah, he's like the old car with like 150,000 miles that there's no way you're going to, get the engine replaced or anything. So you just floor it for the last like 10,000 miles. And then drive it off the end of the pier or something.
Speaking of which, did you guys hear all this scuttlebutt about the pier getting what's the word when they close it, when they put the gates up?
Condemned.
Yeah, Andy, what's up with that? You're down there. You're on the scene.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Well, I remember being out there when they had some kind of Memorial Day thing where they had flyovers by old like World War II jets, and they had rows of people walking out there, too many people, I mean, probably a few hundred, and that thing was shaking back and forth, and I was just like, I don't think I want to be out here anymore, So at that point, I think they kind of got a feeling that, this needs to be repaired, and there are some things that need to be repaired about it, but I don't want to get too kind of political into it, but the whole
it's super political, I bet.
But the whole foundation that they're starting, they only got one bid, and it's way, way too high, and they're not going, they're not allowing any other bids to come in and try to get the job done based on other people's professional
opinions. Is it a local bid,
Andy? I guess
you
could say. It is a local bid.
Yeah, so that's the thing. I mean, that sounds.
What are they going to do with it?
They just need to replace some pilings out towards the end, and they also need to replace a lot of the wood out towards the end. It's basically the second, outer half of the pier.
Kind of when it goes up. I think there's like a little spot where it kind of goes up, and I think that's mostly the places that need it. But, yeah, Andy, that is kind of sketchy. I mean, I wondered about that, and that's one of the reasons why I haven't like supported it super a lot on Facebook. It's an issue that needs to happen, but if it's just funneling money to one person to do it, then it's like a fund anything or a what are the other things that they use for
a nonprofit scam off the top possible type of thing.
Like a nonprofit front for somebody who's going to end up making a lot of money off it.
Absolutely.
Who can do something like that? Is it just a straight construction job? It's not, right? I mean, you got to get crazy engineering.
Exactly. There's a place.
Are they just going to close it down till it? until it falls in a storm, or
well, they're just going to close it down. The plan is to close it down until they get enough money to start fixing it, which hopefully will be in the next few months.
Okay, is it all closed? You can go out a little ways, right?
You can
walk
out halfway, and they have like some old chain link fence kind of set up. It's really, really hokey
That's
looking.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever jumped off the pier?
Yeah, I used to have to do that for
junior
lifeguards, remember?
Yeah. I never did junior lifeguards, but I've never jumped off the pier. Nope.
No?
No. Come on, you guys know me.
Were you scared on?
It's against the rules.
Were you scared?
It's against the rules.
Come on.
That is all right there.
Yeah. Walk your bike, follow the rules.
I mean, you know, Miles, you and I spent a lot of time in the ocean, but...
Is that what you're saying, Owen, that you didn't overhead cast ever off the pier because there was a sign that said no overhead casting?
I can neither confirm nor deny overhead casting.
Do not feed the seagulls?
I'm going to take the fifth on that. On feeding the seagulls as well.
You're never gonna get your line out there if you don't overhead cast. You're not gonna catch anything.
Yeah, I know. I think I don't know what I did. I haven't been fishing in a while, Andy. We gotta not to digress, but Brian, who was on yesterday, is a big fisherman, and so I'd say
freshwater,
dude, all water,
all water.
Yeah, he's kayaked the entire span of San Luis Obispo County in the ocean. So we gotta have him on, and you gotta talk fishing with him.
Sure.
All right, Miles.
Nothing more exciting than talking fishing.
Talking fishing with some. With a cold one. Miles Davis, you got a new album coming out with LPMD with LP, L'Ingenue Parsons III. Am I correct in that?
Yeah, that's him.
Okay, cool. From Yellow Card. And you guys did a show recently too, right? What was the most recent show you guys did, like a couple weeks ago, a month ago?
We did, I think it was about two and a half weeks ago, we did the Viper Room. Uh-huh. Played the new album for the first time, and got a pretty good response. Now it was a fun show. We rocked it, and it's always fun getting up on stage with LP. We have one of our good friends, Neil Faison, on, who's just an amazing guitarist, been playing guitar his whole life. He's all over the new album, doing solo stuff, doing technical stuff, and just adding an element of kind of almost a rock fused with the hip hop for this one. So it's a blessing to have him in on the project, and it's always fun performing. You know, no show is ever the same because a lot of it's done just improv.
Yeah,
right,
so
on the spot.
So your show, I mean, your music is built in the studio. I mean, you're a studio rat. You're a guy who does, you know, music engineering, sound design for a living, as well as your music. But when you start talking about getting on stage, it's got to have another element, right? Of like of being able to actually play some of the tracks that you're able to you know, bring together in the studio. There's got to be some kind of transition there, right?
Oh yeah, it's completely different. Well, I mean, it's you know, it's showtime when you hit the stage. All eyes are on you. You have to have the energy. You got to be able to give energy to the crowd so you get it back. You got to give love to the crowd so you get it back. There's nothing worse than going up there and they're at the bar with their back turned to you or something, or, you know, they're not really showing any interest in your music or anything like that, you know. And so you just, when you step on stage, you just got to, you know, turn it on and make sure that they understand that you're into it. You believe everything that's coming out. You're positive about your project, and it reflects on the, you know, response you get. So it's definitely a different ball game. And when you go on there, you know, everything's live. So when I jump on the instruments, whether it's the violin or the drums or the voice box or anything, it's all, you know, you either hit it this time or you wait till the next time you jump on stage. And with all the camera phones and recording devices that are out there, you know, everybody catches everything. So you can't get away with nothing up there.
You can't take anything off, huh? I actually saw a comedian do a show with his back turned to the audience for about half the time one time, and it was pretty incredible, but I don't think that works for music.
Or like Tom,
some people, baby.
Or like Tom Green doing his stand up sitting on top of a stool like an owl. And he did it for like 10 minutes. Then he finally realized, I look like a stupid owl. What am I doing up here?
That's the next level, Miles. That's what we're expecting out of your next.
Try something like that. Get a pedestal or something.
If and when you guys, you know, make it up to Slow Brew or something, we'll have to call out for the owl song or something. And you'll have to do that.
I definitely want to make it up there, man. I've been I'm going to start reaching out now that we have the finished product test up and everything, and try to get down there just to perform for all, you know, all my friends from back in the day.
Well, yeah, it's good, I think, to expand the sound and, you know, kind of take it to you know, some places that there's probably a lot of people that haven't even heard of it, you know, so.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
Yeah.
Those are my favorite shows always, is when we get to open up for another act in a bigger venue where, you know, the crowd is there and excited to see, you know, who they came to see, and then you come on and you just kind of steal the show and you have them all, you know, kind of eating out of your hand by the end of the set. That's probably the most fun I have.
That is a good feeling, I'm sure, yeah.
One of the and Miles sent me a couple of tracks that we've been using on the podcast. We used it for the last one, and we'll be using it for this one as well.
We've been using his sound since pretty much day one, right?
Since day one on the podcast.
72 of these deep. So.
I'm talking about out of the new album.
Out of the new album.
Right, yeah. And one of the songs that I like the most that's probably I'll use the most is Toast to the Coast, and it features a gentleman by the name of Slim Jeff. So tell me, who's Slim Jeff, and tell me about that song.
Toast to the Coast is, I don't know, every album that I make, and I always love that kind of California vibe to songs and kind of that laid back summertime feel. I always love those songs, so I always try to incorporate at least one of those on there.
Sure.
And for this one, Flynn is just he's just a guy I've known for a couple years now. We've done some work here and there and, you know, put together a couple songs here and there, but I just thought his voice would be perfect. You know, he's a real, he's an intelligent rapper, you know. He knows what he thinks, and he gets his point across pretty well, and I just thought he'd be perfect for that. And Toast to the Coast is one of my favorite tracks on the album, too. I had that song written for a while, actually, and tried to get a couple different singers on it, but nothing really panned out, so it's me on the hook and me doing everything. And, I love that song, man. I'm glad you like that song.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. You said Slim Jeff's an intelligent rapper, and I think you'd probably categorize yourself, not to, like, toot your own horn or whatever, but I think that's definitely something that comes through, you know, in a lot of your songs as far as being kind of next level as far as some of the vocabulary or concepts that you're trying to get across.
Definitely. Yeah, I try to think outside the box as much as possible, but I also try to make music that has an impact on what's going on, you know, what I see day to day, and a lot of the stuff that's going on in our country and stuff like that, not to get political or anything, but, you know, sometimes that's on my mind when I'm making songs, and I might make a song called, you know, like Catch Up If You Can, for example, or Backboards, where I'm really talking about some stuff that means a lot to me, you know, and that's what music is to me. It's so personal that all these songs are really reflections of how I was feeling at a certain time.
Right.
You know, and then they grew as, you know, as the project progressed, they all grew and new elements were added. But I try to keep, you know, kind of a central theme every album I do. Like, I have 8 more tracks for this album, for Close to That Sky, that we're going to be releasing in 3 months. And while they all kind of sound different, it kind of takes you on a ride. I think the central theme of hard work, persistence, you know, paying off in the end is kind of where I'm at, because I've been grinding so hard for so long and been working 70 hours a week for so long and never take a day off in the studio, you know, and just the progression you make just drives you to make music about that, you know, because you know how much hard work it takes, and you know not everybody just gets lucky. You know, nobody gets lucky. They're prepared. They get an opportunity, and they're prepared for that opportunity, and that's how.
Right,
you know, they progress with their career, and that's kind of the message, overall message that I'm trying to send with this album.
Well, that's what they say success is, where opportunity, you know, meets up with preparation
and hard work. I had and to kind of bring it back to sports, you know, I had a coach that I worked with who talked about the will to prepare to win,
uh-huh.
Like, you know, like you said, that will to continue to work 70 hours, because as much as other people can work 70 hours for, you know, a month or two or whatever, doing that. And like you said, grinding, it's a great description of it, but grinding for that long, not everybody does. So certainly,
yeah.
That bodes well. And I think, the idea of just kind of being positive with that, is definitely something that came through in your last album.
Absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So,
I try to stay positive as much as possible. There's so much music out there that is just brain dead, or downer or talking about bad stuff, that I try to keep it as positive as I can. You know, my emotions and my attitude, you know, I have pretty bad attitude, so that stuff still comes through in my music sometimes when I get angry, but for the most part, I try to keep it uplifting, something that people can listen to and, you know, actually take something from it.
We don't want it to all be 100%. I mean,
happiness. You know, yeah. That's not real life either.
We're not in the garden, you know, picking flowers.
What I was laughing at, you know, when you talked about, you know, you do get mad sometimes, attitude wise and so forth. You know, Miles and I used to play things like Home Run Derby at his house, or, you know, on our street, where if you hit it, you know, into somebody's yard, it's a home run.
The Legend of Hacienda Drive.
You know, you hit on like the second deck, it's a 2-run shot. You hit it over the house, it's a grand slam. And he and I used to really compete, and it was weird because no matter how much better one of us was at something, when you play with the same person that often, when you compete with the same person that often, you're the end results tend to start to like come together. Like with baseball, like, you know, as probably better at baseball that you were, you know, as much better as you were than me, you know, sometimes that kind of came out. And I was just picturing Miles and I used to go play tennis from time to time too, and I'm picturing Miles on the tennis court, and it was McEnroe-esque.
What didn't you guys play?
It was McEnroe.
I remember those. We used to have some battles.
What is there anything you guys did?
There were so many deuces.
Were you guys getting the hopscotch going, playing jacks? You know, I mean, what else?
We did it all, man. There wasn't much else to do down there. You had to pick stuff.
The mini basketball hoops.
Who can eat 10 crackers faster?
Hoops. Racing up to the Morrill Strand Market.
Oh, Mr. 6'5" as a 12-year-old.
I used to dunk on those guys on the mini hoops. Yes. On Cesar and Miles.
I can just see Cesar getting thrown down on little Cesar.
Both of those guys, they have little hoops. Cesar had a little hoop that he put out in the middle, and we'd play like 21, and I just got there and go, ah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Picking on
us
little guys.
Yeah. Miles, what's up with the Niners? How are you feeling? I mean, you guys went to the Super Bowl last year. I know they've been your team for forever. You went to the Super Bowl last year. How are you feeling about, you know, some of the changes or non-changes that have been made?
How about Crabtree being out for the year? Is that going to affect you guys?
That hurts, man. Crabtree being out hurts. I thought this was going to be Crabtree's year, too, right? Just the way the last 7 or whatever games last season when Kaepernick came in and he was like 120 for the touch every game. I thought he was going to keep doing that. So I'm a little concerned about that. I think the Bolden pickup was obviously now is huge.
Yeah. I mean, that's going to make that. Yeah, that's going to make everything okay, I think, you know, standard.
And they did draft A.J. Jenkins.
They drafted one too,
Yeah, Jenkins needs to step up.
Yeah. Well, he's going to have to now. I mean,
he's
going
to
have to
find a way to get on that field.
And I would also think that they need to find a way to kind of implement Vernon Davis into the offense a little bit more because, you know, he kind of did reasonable last year. They really didn't use him all that.
Yeah, Kaepernick isn't the biggest fan of Davis, I don't think.
Well, I would start lining him up out wide and start working in some stuff where he's lined up out wide.
Some Antonio Gates stuff.
Yeah, kind of some mismatch situations and things like that.
You know, he's too good to have zero or one catch of the game, man. Right. Like he did.
Well, you line him up on the outside. There's not a linebacker in the league that's going to be able to run down the field with him. So,
absolutely.
No, I think they're going to be good, though. I think their defense is going to be what it is, and I think Kaepernick's going to have a good year. I like his character too, and how he presents himself. You know, it sounds like he's got his, you know, mind on winning, which is really what it's all about. So, I think they're going to be good. I'm gonna say they win the Super Bowl.
That's a prediction right away.
That's all.
That's your every year prediction, I think.
Wow.
Yeah,
that is just an opinion from an unbiased fan. Man,
I
got to give him a little more credit than that. Come on now.
The fans and shit, man, because you guys are on the Dodgers bandwagon all day long.
Yeah, what we're talking about. We need to have some Giants writers come in and actually start writing for us.
Yeah, if you know anybody who wants to write about Bay Area stuff, we're all about it. I have a question for you because it's something that Luke always argues about, the Angels being better, the Angels being blah, blah, blah. And my point is maybe, and my point is always maybe, but nobody in LA cares, right?
Yeah, no, nobody.
It's
nobody,
like
nobody cares.
No, especially like north of LA, right? I mean, it's like it's and the Angels, you know, they're an Orange County team, so maybe if you went south of LA, more people would. But it's just such a small pocket, right? I mean,
it is.
You're there and you're unbiased. So tell us, like, who cares about the Angels?
Man, do I know any Angel fans? I know a friend of a friend that's an Angel fan, and a guy that I work with that's an Angel fan. But that's two out of however many. I've never met any other Angel fans. They don't care about
one dude who lives in Santa Ana who has a flat bill and arm tattoos. That's the guy who likes the Angels.
That's him. You know him too.
Yeah. I know that guy.
I'm pretty sure it's a barbed wire tattoo.
And he's wearing Lokes. And he's wearing Lokes.
Miles, have you ever been to the Angels Stadium?
Yeah, a while ago.
Yeah,
it's been a couple years though.
I wasn't impressed.
No, I don't mind it.
God, it was like facing center. We were out like kind of halfway down the right field line, and it was like facing center field, and the sight lines were bad, and they were like just
it
the
just
way
seemed
the,
a lot more blah than it. I mean, it just seems on TV, it's maybe a little bit more than it is when you're there in person. It seems small. And it's kind of blech.
Like Dodger Stadium, all the seats are like turned the way they need to be turned towards the infield.
Yeah,
like it's for baseball. That stadium still like has some football bones in it. You know what I mean? Like when from the Rams used to play there, it still has some like
with some old bones.
Old bones.
You figure those should be knotted up by now.
Because they haven't done anything since they did that whole Disney switch where they put the fountains and everything in there, I don't think.
And that was like, what, 98, 99, something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, when they had the All-Star game, I think. So, yeah, I mean, it's about due, I'd say, for something. But since nobody cares, I don't know. I mean, I guess they're in a big media market, so people kind of watch
sellers?
Accidentally.
Orange County cares, I guess. I don't know, man. I mean, it's just they're secondary. But that's the thing about it. If the Dodgers aren't good, you wouldn't tell that you're even in LA if they're not good. You know, they don't come out unless they're winning.
I would say probably, yeah. Well, they don't come out 50,000 strong. They'll come out 35,000 strong.
I've seen a lot more Giants hats lately, Miles. Let's just slow that roll a little bit.
Well, it's hard to argue against LA fans not being Fairweather fans. It's hard to argue that. Yeah,
I mean, it's a transplant city. It's a transplant city.
Let's be real about it. Yeah. But
it is. I was surprised because I know like halfway through the first half, they were leading the league in attendance. I said, that is crazy.
Yep. Yep, they are loyal, and I think
it's because there was a whole new blue,
a whole new suck.
So what do you think about Magic Johnson?
I think he's a figurehead.
Yeah,
I think he's.
I think it's exactly. It's like L.A. through and through.
It's
just
what you
get a guy who might not necessarily know what he's doing as far as what the job description is, he's someone that people can relate to. You know, he's a popular ideal, I guess you could say. So put him in there. It's kind of like the who was that other owner I was thinking of the other day that was kind of similar to him. I was making the analogy
Jay-Z on the Nets.
Yeah, so kind of something like that.
Mikhail Prokhorov. I think Magic's a figurehead. I think that the Dodgers, you know, have the money behind them now. And I've said this a lot about the Lakers, is it's better to be relevant than it is to be good. You can be really good, like if the Cardinals this year were the Dodgers, like if all those players were on the Dodgers, they wouldn't lead the league in attendance, and it wouldn't be as exciting as it is now. And the Cardinals are like, you know, 15 games above 500 or something. So,
yeah, you're right about
you know, I think in LA, and you live there, you know, and you're in the entertainment business too. You know, it's better to good programming sometimes takes a backseat to relevant programming or exciting programming or, you know, and the two don't have to be mutually exclusive, but when it comes to sports, you know, the Lakers have to have a superstar. The Dodgers have to have superstars or else, you know, even if it doesn't make them necessarily good. You know, Bobby Bonilla played for the Dodgers for a while, I think. You know, that was because it's better to be relevant than it is to be good.
Because
he wasn't good. Because he wasn't good anymore.
Right. Well, I think the difference is now the Dodgers, they've always kind of had that guy. But then again, at the same time, management and the front office has kind of acted small marketish with that. And that doesn't.
Especially the last 10 years.
And that's not a good equation to act that way and then to want to have like one star. You know, if you're going to go for it. And they finally have the money to do it. So now they're starting to do that.
They went for it, that's for sure.
Yeah, they definitely went for it.
Great. Miles, it's always a pleasure. Where can people find your music and when can they find it? Where and when?
The group is LPMD. The album is called Close to That Sky, and it'll be available next Tuesday, July 23rd.
next Tuesday.
iTunes, Amazon, Spotify.
Wow.
Wherever you can find digital music, and it'll be there.
I know your previous songs were on SoundCloud. Is the same thing or not anymore?
They will be on SoundCloud for a limited time, but we're not going to keep them up there.
Got limited it. Time offer. So,
yeah,
cool. So you'll have to purchase the album for this one.
Great, hear
the goodness.
And it's a worthwhile purchase. Now, you said you're releasing some tracks now and more tracks later. How many tracks are you releasing now?
On this album, we're doing an EP, so we're releasing 6 tracks.
Okay, and then you're going to do 6 more later on?
Yeah, we're doing about 8 more later on. I got about 8 more almost done right now. I'm just putting the finishing touches on them, getting some features, some of my friends, some other artists to come in and rock on the tracks. And then once I get that all together and let this marinate for a while, then we're going to throw that one out there.
All right, well,
nice.
We'll
hot off the presses.
We'll be checking it out. I encourage everybody who listens to check it out as well. And
no doubt.
Miles, thanks again. Say hi to your parents for me.
All right, thanks.
Later,
thanks,
Miles.
Andy.
Good to talk to
all
you,
right, man. Take it easy.
Yeah. See ya.
Peace.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Fansmanship Podcast. For more podcasts and more in-depth sports discussion, go to fansmanship.com.
No regrets, no remorse, no resets, no rewards, no replays, no remains.
Miles Davis.
What's up, man?
Owen and Andy, and we are recording because we don't have that much time, I know.
Oh, okay. You got me recording right now, huh?
Absolutely. Why not, right?
Shock value.
Shock. I'm in the office right now. Let me,
You want to call us back?
Let me go outside so nobody comes barging in on us. I'll be back in like 2 minutes.
All right.
Just waiting for the light so I can get lit. I'm sticking with myself cause there is no script. I've lost it and I've had it. Caress it and I grab it. Succumb to temptation.